Hey, my name is Jason Dyba, and you're listening to the Passion Podcast. Last week, I was in Daytona Beach, Florida, with roughly 6,000 middle school and high school students and their leaders for a week of Passion Camp, and it was extraordinary. If you've never heard of Passion Camp, you need to check it out. I mean, just Google it, see the squad wars, see the messages, see the brand new Sean Kern music video that was recorded live at Passion Camp this year. It's seriously the best camp that I have ever seen. And while I was there, I was able to catch up with both Pastor Louis Giglio, who spoke there, and Pastor Levi Lusco, who also spoke there. And the two of them sat down together to talk about how innovation starts in the garage and the importance in the theology of God's glory and when to build up and when to tear down and their plans for celebrating this New Year's Eve in the newest football stadium in the country. It was an amazing conversation, and I'm excited that you're about to hear it as well. So get ready. This is Louis Giglio speaking with Levi Lusco.
So great having Levi Lusco on the Passion Podcast today, and amazing just hanging out today in Daytona Beach, Florida, of all places, at the best camp on the planet at Passion Camp today. You crushed this morning, by the way.
Thank you. Crushed is the right word for it.
And
you actually crushed this morning.
Almost got crushed today. We can't really get into all that, but you did lie on a bed of nails.
Yep.
And then had another bed of nails put on top of you, and then had a cinder block put on top of that, and then I smashed that.
With a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
So that was this morning. As one would in Daytona Beach on a Wednesday.
Pretty amazing. I'm sure that's probably happening somewhere else in Daytona Beach today.
That's probably true. Or an axe being thrown at the wall or something.
If you guys don't know Levi Lusco, I would love to introduce you to him. He's a friend, and that's the best part of all. We met Tacoma. I want to talk about that a few years ago. Kind of crazy circumstance how we met. But Pastor Fresh Life Church, and all of your family of churches around the Northwest U.S., which is pretty amazing, hubbed out of Montana, of all places. You're a father of five kids, an amazing family, and you also are an incredible speaker and an author of books like Through the Eyes of a Lion, Swipe Right, your latest book, I Declare War. I mean, that's fierce and ferocious and such a powerful and important message, but I'm so grateful to have you on today, Levi. We're 7 months away from what I believe is going to be one of the most historic New Year's Eve gatherings of all time. That's Passion 2020 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And just saying that sounds insane.
Chills. Yeah, 100%. It's outrageous. Well, thank you for all of that and for being in my life and for having me on. And yeah, 7 months, that is hard to believe, but there's so much about that that's ridiculous. The Super Bowl, the being torn down and being rebuilt, that it's 2020, all of that. It's pretty epic.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people lose sight of what it means to walk by faith. And even what I just introduced you, you're the pastor of Fresh Life Church. You have multiple locations across Montana, a hotbed for church planting and the church planting movement. I mean, you run into people every day who are talking about planting churches across Montana, right? Wrong. No one has been thinking the last 10 years about planting churches across the state of Montana the way that you have. You have a church in Salt Lake City, have a church in Portland, Oregon, have churches maybe somewhere else that I'm not.
Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Now, that's the one that I want to be the pastor
of. Yeah, 100%. That's my backup plan. Things don't work out as a senior pastor. I'm going to hire myself on as the campus pastor in Jackson Hole.
Amazing
idea. Hang out
idea.
With Kanye. Yeah.
And people just say, hey, so you're leading this great movement of churches in Montana, but they miss the magnitude of that statement, of what it took for you to step out from a place where a lot of people want to hang out, live, from California, make the jump to somewhere where nobody really was thinking about going. And I know that's true in our lives with Mercedes, because people keep saying to me, oh, that's so cool. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's amazing. And I'm like, it's not cool, nor is it great, nor is it amazing. Well, maybe it is all those things, but it's mostly insane.
Yeah.
It's mostly ridiculous. It's mostly unthinkable. It's mostly either the dumbest or the greatest thing that we've ever done as an organization, because it is a Mount Everest to lead a movement into the prime stadium on planet Earth at this particular moment.
Right.
And I feel like you've lived that life. You've lived the life of taking steps where people thought either this is the dumbest thing or the greatest thing,
yeah,
or maybe both that's ever happened. Talk about stepping out in faith.
Yeah. Well, I think you hit it right in the head. The nexus point of this is either the best or the worst is usually where God moves mightily. You never, in business or in anything, you never hear a story that inspires you deeply that's like, this guy had all the money in the world and had a great idea. So he used all the money he had that was in the world and he funded his great idea. And now a company was born. It's always the garage. It's always the dream. It's always the, I was just listening to this interview, the CEO, it was Peloton, of one of the co-founders of Peloton was talking about how, you know, the angel investors gave this money, barely made the prototype. The first one came back 40% too big. Now it's a $4 billion company, but it was like he was cleaning the bathrooms and the toilets and staying up all night and thought they were going to go under. And then the prototype came in and it was wobbly. So they filmed their Kickstarter video and the screen's wobbly. So they had to fake it. And it was 40% too big. So they hired the tallest model they could to get on it. The other one is wobbly. So it's like, we didn't know whether to film the wobbly one or the giant one. And you just think like, that's the story. That no story that's worth telling is ever easy, or ever pain-free, or ever probable. It's all, they don't make movies that out of this love story was predictable and normal. It's the drama. It's without the death of his wife, Braveheart is just a dude in a dress. It's the agony that makes it special and worth telling. So I think in our lives, we all want the product of faith, but what we resent is the process of faith.
Well, you know, I think that this is being fueled by this instant culture. I mean, we all live around a social media platform. I do, and I love it, and I know you do, and you love it, but it's called Instagram.
Yeah, good.
And now we get our groceries from Instacart. So yeah, it's not only an instant generation, we're actually calling things that. And I think subtly that may have seeped into the expectation of a lot of people that you just sort of wake up one day with a good idea or the right partnership or timing or opportunity and you go to the top. Isn't that how it worked for Little Nas after all? He wasn't doing anything and then all of a sudden he's doing everything. So isn't it just about getting your break and getting your moment and then just going straight to the top?
Yeah, right. I mean, I just came across a roll of film I have that I'm actually kind of like want to hang on to it or develop it, but I don't even know if I can anymore. But you think about like what Instagram is now is 1,000 photos. I asked someone the other day, I saw this photo, I was like, that photo is great. How many pictures did you take? She goes, oh, you're 200. And she was able to carefully select it because she was able to look at it and get the right one. And I think, you know, our kids and our kids' kids, they're never going to know a life where photos had to be developed before. And I think about like God often does his best work in the dark room and the chemical bath and you don't know and that being soaked. And I think there's something lost if we shortcut that process, because before God can do a lot through you, he needs to do a lot in you, or you'll be a victim of your own success and topple under the weight of what he puts on the branches of your life if you don't have those roots. And I think it's necessary to go through that period.
So many times I think we fight against the very things that God is actually trying to use in our lives to form us into the people we are. And I know when we met, you had just released your first book, or at least the first book that I'm aware of. It might have been a book before
That's it.
The story of Linnea, your daughter. And you had come to a conference to talk about the book, and I think it was actually the week of release, and I hadn't had a chance to meet you before. But when you shared that message, Levi, maybe a 5-minute, 10, 15-minute interview max that happened in the middle of that conference, it arrested me, because you weren't just talking about a tragedy. You weren't just talking about the pain of losing a daughter. You actually were framing the pain of losing a daughter. And I believe that journey, if I could say it, because I know you well and I think you want to say it, but I think that journey is actually produced in you something that actually is allowing you to have the voice, the platform, the impact that you're having in the world right now.
I don't disagree at all. Obviously, you don't get to architect your life, so you don't get to see those things happen. I think it's hard to be aware in a moment when God's putting scaffolding up. And the scaffolding that he's putting up doesn't look good. but you can't get another story on. You can't get a skyscraper on without the scaffolding. And I think so a lot of times when pain comes, we're like, what's this? The pipes, the boards, and God's setting up scaffolding for where he wants to take you. And I know that was the case. But it's so funny, like even that story of the Tacoma conference, because that pastor out of the blue called me up and just said, I feel like God put in my heart to make your voice louder. So is there anything I can do for you? And I was like, when do you get a call like that? You know, and it's like, make my voice louder. He wants to turn the volume up on my life. And even that, like God, when he's ready, God's going to turn the volume knob up.
So good.
And I remember listening to Passion conferences because, you know, long before I was ever able to come and be a part of them, I've been touched by the ministry, following along, tracking with, and influenced by your voice. And I never let proximity keep me from learning. So you were a coach in my life long before I ever knew you. And I didn't have to hustle and strive and network and know a guy to put a guy out there. I mean, I knew people who knew you, but never once asked for an introduction because I just knew when the time was right. If it was meant to happen, it's going to happen in God's time. You don't have to, you know, fake it till you make it. You just trusting that God's got it under control. So, but deep in my heart, and I've told Jenny this, I felt like there was going to come a day when you and I would be friends. And there was going to come a day when that was going to happen. And I just didn't need to make it happen on my own. And so to get a call one day that says, God told me to make the volume of your life louder. What can I do? And I didn't even know what to say. I said, maybe you could tweet about my book. Like it comes out. He's like, what day does it come out? I say August 4th. And he goes, well, I have a conference that day. You should come to my conference and I'll interview you about your book. And I go, great. I'll be there. Said yes. And he goes, you'll be right before Louis Giglio speaks. And literally, it was like, what? You can't make that up. I didn't engineer this. And so it was like, I was excited. I walked into the green room. You're there. I go, hey, Louie. And you're like, you said, I've been looking forward to meeting you for a while. And, you know, we ended up staying up till 2 a.m. that night, having the best time ever. But it's just, what I love about that is that you just see God weaving together how he wants it. And we can just trust and rest in that process.
Yeah. Someone said to me sometime after that, at another place where we were together, it was interesting, Levi, you were across the room, and someone said to me, I don't really get the message of passion. And I'm sure there are people out there that feel that way, because we're a very theologically oriented movement. I mean, people know us from music and from the anthems and the songs that have come out of passion over the last two decades, but we are a theologically rooted movement. We are rooted in a sovereign God who really is supreme, meaning he's better than everything. Therefore, we're calling people to live for him, because that means our lives matter when we live our lives for what matters most. And we talk about this big sovereign God, and this person standing there saying what maybe a lot of people say. They say, I don't get passion. I don't understand why it always has to be about God and about God's sovereignty and about God having his overarching glory over everything. Isn't it enough just to tell people that God loves them? And I thought, oh my word, I am like having this conversation right now with this very respectable person whom I have a lot of honor for this person. And fortunately, you were in the room over my shoulder, and I looked up and I saw you. And I said, well, my friend Levi is right over there, and Levi lost his daughter to an asthma attack a few days before Christmas. And I think Levi probably needs a message bigger than God loves you. He needs a net for his family to fall into that's bigger than just simply God loves you, because there's nothing about that situation that's screaming God loves you.
Yeah. No doubt. And I would even say like the net tethered by that anchor, you know, and that anchor of the weightiness of God's glory and all of those things, we have to, and that's what I honestly appreciate about the Passion movement all these years and what you and Shelley have built and stood for, is that robust view of the glory of God that gives you something to keep your feet on the ground and keep you off your heels when your faith is questioned at college, or you know what the complexities and pain of life, something that can handle the weight. You know, you think about like when you anchor something into the wall, you can put a 5-pound anchor or 20-pound anchor, these different, they rate them differently. And you hang too heavy of a thing on that anchor, it's not going to hold it. And, you know, what you've always presented and what I think got us through what we went through was having a theological framework that was sufficient to handle the weight. You know, I had low moments in the aftermath of that, like anybody would. But at the end of the day, there was a like you said, framework to process it through, and a belief that God's working even when I can't see it. He's up to something even when I don't understand it. And that just at the end of the day, that God allowed the death of his son. So I have in God a father who can relate to what I was going through. And that what gave me the greatest peace was knowing he hates death too. And he hates the death of my daughter. It was not his plan from the beginning, and he's working to overcome it.
You went to Montana, of all places. So can you help everybody process through what it looks like to maybe take a step that isn't the lane, the popular lane maybe, but it's an unusual lane? And how did you guys end up seeking the Lord and finding your way to Montana, of all places? And just talk about what you found there when you got there, and the church now is thriving across the entire state of Montana. Talk a little bit about what Fresh Life started like, what it looks like today.
Yeah. Well, let me start backwards. So now, just the thing that's got me so excited today is our prison church. We opened up a Tuesday night service in the minimum security wing of the only state prison in Montana, in Deer Lodge. And we're seeing 20 to 30 people a week make decisions for Jesus.
Wow.
Standing room only in the room. We're any day now going to be opening up in the medium security wing. The big fear has been for the guards that there's so many inmates coming that they're nervous about that they don't have enough guards if something were to go wrong. And the coolest thing is that our team in there says, all right, we're the safest people in this prison. These guys are so grateful for the church that's happening. They would make sure anyone who pops off is going to be, quickly shut down lest they lose this privilege. So the reports coming back of that make my whole life, because you think about a people getting saved in prison who are going to come out, and they've done studies on the recidivism rate and how that's impacted. And you think about crime, like in that Tom Cruise movie, that will never happen because of this impact and these guys. And so and I just think about how we are uniquely in the state situated to do this, because our big campus, that's our broadcast one where I preach at in person, a majority of the funds came from that church. But no one at that church lives within proximity that they could drive there every week. So we have a newer work in Butte and Helena that couldn't have paid for it, those two alone. But they're supplying the labor and the manners, though they gave to it as well. And so you just think about, it would take a statewide church like we have to be able to do this.
Wow.
Any small church in the area would never have had the manpower or the money to be able to do it. So you think about what God set up 12 years ago when he went there was, I'm eventually going to reach these men in this prison and these families and children. So we're seeing an impact all across the state from that. And that's just one small piece of the puzzle that what we shake our heads at and go, God's good, right? But 12 years ago, we started... we moved there and started the church, not that Sunday, but the next Sunday. So we were going to give ourselves some time.
Give you a week to work it out.
It was the dead of winter, January. We left Dana Point, California. It was 70 degrees. We got there, and quickly it was sub-zero, drifting snow. This winter, we had the worst winter in 10 years. It was a bad winter. We had in Helena, where we have one of our churches, they had 21 days in a row where it never got above zero.
Wow.
Coldest winter on record for Great Falls as well. So really cold. And it was like that when we started. And we just sent our few people we had around town to invite people, hey, would you go to Fresh Life Church this Sunday? And 14 people came for Sunday. We met above a bar, had a Bible study. And, we were excited. 14 people seemed like a lot, I've had people start churches. This was pre-ARC, pre-interest meeting, you start with 500 and you're kind of bummed because you thought 750 were going to come to the first service. All my friends that were church planners, they just started a Bible study in their home. So we were edgy and starting above a bar, and we had a little PA, and 14 people, we were off to the races. And within 3 months, it was 100. And then, by the year end, it was 300. And we've kind of grown from there. And then we started multi-site and started TV and stuff like that. And we bought an FM radio station. That was big, which we recently sold to Caleb. But that was a big move for us to get on the radio, because construction sites, one of the first things they unload is at the job site is a boombox to play the music. And so getting on the radio and buying spots on secular stations around the area was big. A lot of people came to our church from those early things we did like that. And then I think you have to know when scaffolding needs to come down. We sold the radio station. We stopped buying some of the things in some of the markets. So just knowing when to do something, but it's just as important to know when to stop. We started a ministry called School Church, where we would do we'd buy a night in a theater in a city, not churchy at all, just a venue 500 seats, you know, like where Megadeth would come through the night before. It'd be filthy, sticky. And we would put up ads, say, Skull Church is coming on billboards. No one would know what it is. It would just be viral. Hurley did merch for it, and we'd send shirts out, Skull Church. It was just, people were so mystified, Googling, what is Skull Church? And then we'd show up that night at the event, bring in a band, and we'd just do a gospel presentation. And that was really, those early days was what kind of started it all. And but it was always stuff that even when you say it, you're like, are you sure that's okay? Sounds like a cult. Maybe it is. You know, that was kind of the energy. So those were our early days. And then our sexual purity event we would do called the O2 Experience. We saw just massive amounts of young people saved through it. But at every turn, there was always like ideas that seemed gutsy, like the Mercedes move. And then we'd see God move and we tried again. And sometimes we'd get it wrong and just keep trying. So that's been the 12 years of
what's the biggest challenge or two biggest challenges right now? You're how many years in now?
12.
12 years in. That are new challenges that you didn't really anticipate 12 years ago?
Man, that's a good question. I think the complexity of success is that you're tempted to just repeat what you did last time. And our team, we're really trying to try and view our big mantra right now is fresh eyes on fresh life. How do we see this with fresh eyes? Because the times we count in a meeting, well, this is what we did last year, Father's Day. Well, this is what we did last year, and it was really a hit for a student. And just, again, and repeating last year's with just changing the dates, but there's no risk in that. There's no newness in that. There's no faith in that, and it's all phoned in. And so I think for us, looking at Fresh Life with fresh eyes, does our website make sense? Is this program? What scaffolding now that needs to be taken down? So that's number one, the complexity. And then I think number two, it's – the money's more, right? Our budget's bigger. It's millions where once it was tens of thousands. And before that, it was hundreds of dollars, you know? But it's funny because now there's more on the payroll. The insurance gets more expensive every year. We need to look at raises and bonuses and this and all that ceiling broke. And I mean, that's 30 grand. And you know, you always in your head see like, if I get to here, it's going to be okay. If I get to here, it's going to be all right. And the challenge right now is going, oh, I've by some standards, quote unquote, achieved it. And yet why is it just as hard and maybe more hard than it's ever been? And so I think capturing that lightning in a bottle of when you just started out and allowing that like chomping at the bit, entrepreneurial, you know, how do you maintain the CEO of Peloton sleeping in the offices, cleaning the toilets himself? How do we keep that scrappy spirit when now we've done it a time or two? And you know, that's hard.
What are some of the ways you feel like you can keep that edge?
I think you have to compensate for the curse of knowledge. So if we don't walk into our, like one of the things I'll try and do is park and walk into our buildings and pretend I'm a single mom pushing a stroller. You know, I'll try and go, anytime I ever go to an Apple store, first thing I do is log on to freshlife.church. First thing, because there's no cookies, there's no cash. So I'm getting to see our website load like someone else would. Mine has an autofill. Even like, how do you sign up for a small group? Would I know where to click to do stuff like that? So I think trying to look at it and then trying to find inspiration from unlikely streams. So I don't look, when I want to, you know, we do look at 515. Your Passion City Church is the one exception to what I'm about to say. But when we wanted to build, we didn't go look at churches. We looked at nightclubs and restaurants. And, you know, we wanted to see where is their unlikely inspiration. Because the Wright brothers, when they built the first airplane, they were working at a bicycle shop. They didn't go to France and look at what the aviators were doing. It took new knowledge. So I think what we have to do is look to unlikely streams and get inspiration from elsewhere to get that next thing.
When you think about being in Mercedes-Benz, and I'm so glad you're going to be there, going to be speaking with, I think probably, you know, for my money, the best team assembled for a gathering. And we put a lot of weight in the fact that it's all about Jesus. Yeah. In fact, we've done events in our history of Passion where we never even announced anyone that was speaking or any band that was playing and just told people it's not enough for you to come with your generation and put your face on the ground before a holy God, then this is not your event.
You're not going to love it.
There's other events out there. And that wasn't us trying to get in a different lane. It was just trying to, you know, every now and then bump up against the system. But I'm proud of our team that's leading out this year. I everybody is selected not necessarily from marketability, but selected because we want a cohesion of the message around the person of Jesus. And I'm so glad you're going to be speaking this year. And I just wonder, when you think in your mind right now, 7 months out, about walking into Mercedes-Benz, what are some of the first things that come into your mind?
Man, I think it's hard for me to unhear your talk on arrows last year or the year before last when you gave that talk about arrows launching out. And so when I was watching the Super Bowl, I don't have to imagine what it's like full. We've seen it. And when I was watching the Super Bowl there, I was just picturing all those arrows and them being lit and then the lid being raised. And as the fireworks and F-16s jammed by, to think about all those students being sent back out to carry the name of Jesus. You know, I have brands on me. I've got a Passion shirt. I've got, you know, all these brands that I'm carrying. I have a Shinola watch, right? So I'm carrying this name. And what Passion has always been about is these students getting the revelation, I get to carry the name of Jesus. And maybe I'm going to become a fireman, and maybe I'm going to, you know, go start the next, you know, VC and invent a vacuum cleaner that's a Roomba and whatever they're going to do. But to be able to carry the name of Jesus into that situation as a brain surgeon. And so to think about that opportunity, the greatest building in this country for gathering people, and to have that happen and have the stage set for people to come in and find out they're important and get their, you can't see forward if you don't get your past healed. So they're going to get their past healed and addressed and all that. And then now to be with their value set, with their heart right, and hey, newsflash, baby, it's not about you, but it's also more about you than you even know. So now go. And
amazing.
So it's going to be that. Those are some of my initial thoughts.
Yeah, I love it. We're talking about the new decade. You know, it's 2020. So it's not just a new year at Passion, not just a place we've never been before, but it's a decade we've never been into before. And it's a new year's that we've never done before. So we're actually going to ring in the new decade of the 20s, the roaring
20s. Are you kidding
back,
me? Wow.
At Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and try to help people frame, what is this decade going to be about for me? And to think about, you know, just an alternative maybe to kind of mindlessly watching, you know, television or mindlessly being entertained into this moment, but being steadfast in this moment about setting my direction, setting the tone of my life, because these are going to be the most critical years yet in the history of the world are the 10 years that are right in front of us right now. Yeah. And to see God ignite a stadium filled with people with clarity and with courage for the moment to be light in this world is what Passion 2020 is all about. And we obviously want to invite everyone listening to be a part of it. I mean, this conversation has been inspiring. I'm going to go back and listen to it and in fact, going to invite some of our team to listen to it because you are a thinker. And that's one of the things I love about you. You know, the scripture says that we should be aware of the times, or we should understand the times. And I think of all the people I'm around, when I leave time with you, Levi, I always leave going, man, I want to understand the times more. Because you read a lot and you watch a lot. You're an observer. Talk about that just for a second, because when you preach, it's always the word, but there's always this real sensitivity to something that's going on either past, present, or coming in the future in the world. Talk about how important it is as a leader, speaker, communicator, author, to understand the times.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was a tribe out of the 12, and I can't remember which tribe it was, but out of all the tribes, it says in the Old Testament that the men of this tribe knew the times and knew what Israel ought to do. And I think if you're not aware of it, you know, just to pause for a second and realize we can live in our life so much that we're like, oh, this is normal. I just got Alexa in my car. And I'm not sure if I want Alexa in my car, but it is kind of nice, you know, to have hands-free, have Alexa do stuff for me. But then you go, like, I have a two-year-old son who's never going to know life without Alexa in the car, right? She's not just in the home and in the lights and in the door locking and the alarm saying, she's in my car now, okay? So, my car can keep me between the lanes and stop for me. That's incredible, and that we should embrace all of that, right? But The Industrial Revolution was the 1700s to the 1900s. And in that 200-year span, more changed than had ever changed in the previous 1700 years. Before that, people were born, they died young, life was hard, and you didn't travel far from home. If you did, it was a trip of a lifetime, Oregon Trail style, a trip of a century. But most people, they died 20 miles from where they were born, and it was farming and day and night, and nothing was very difficult. Okay, then in the 200 years, the cotton gin, the engine, discovering vaccinations and germs, and all of this was in a 200-year period. And now consider this, in the last 30 years, more has changed on such a violent scale in the last 30 years than in that entire 200-year period. And it's escalating exponentially out of control to the degree that in 2 years, literally all the technology we use today will look like a joke. And so just to be aware, what does that mean? I don't know, but I know it means something. I know that it means something. And I know it's a strategic time. You know, when you said roaring 20s, it caused me to sit back and want to understand that, because that was 100 years ago and that was a big deal. And what was happening then with the Empire State Building being built, and just to think about what a strategic time it is to send out a generation of people passionate for the name of Jesus.
Yeah, well, it's going to be amazing. And we want you guys to be a part of it. 18 to 25 year olds, high school seniors, anybody leading college students or young adults, we got a place for you at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, passionconferences.com. But check out Levi's book, I Declare War. This book's been out for about 7-8 months now. A game-changing message through the eyes of a lion. Swipe right, relationships, dating, sex, incredible, honest, gritty book from Levi Lesko as well. And find him online somewhere, Fresh Life Church, find the podcast, listen along. You're not going to be sorry that you did. I love you. I love your life. I love your family. Your daughter's here with us today, one of them, while we're doing this podcast. Shelly and I love you, and Jenny, we're behind you guys and for you. And if not before, I know for sure I'm going to see you at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Absolutely.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, come on. Thank you. Love you.
That was Louis Giglio speaking with Levi Lesko. Both of them are going to be at Passion 2020 in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And you can be there as well. Just go to passionconferences.com. And if you're 18 to 25 years old, you can register to be there. And if you're over 25, you can come serve as a door holder. Passion has always been about one thing, living for the glory of God. So we hope you'll be a part of ringing in the new decade with us, lifting up the name of Jesus. And thanks again for listening today to the Passion Podcast.